The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Horn Family Automotive Studios.
It's a good Tuesday. Thanks for being with us, Brad Sesmatt, Sports360AZ.com. Arizona-centric things going on across the great state. It could be U of A ranked number one in the NCAA's basketball poll. The Diamondbacks looking at pulling off a big deal. The Suns playing against the Lakers tonight. The Cardinals with Tyrann Mathieu. Arizona State and U of A getting ready for bowl games. So much going on in the state of Arizona and on the program. Today we'll go a couple different directions. ESPN baseball analyst Pedro Gomez joins us live from the winter baseball meetings. The very latest, within the next couple of hours, could it be the Diamondbacks pull off a huge trade? Pedro Gomez, live, one of the best in the business from ESPN. He comes on with us every week during the season. Nice enough to join us today. John Ireland, longtime play-by-play voice, the Los Angeles Lakers. Tonight, the Suns are in L.A. Kobe's back. What's the view in L.A. of the Suns? I talked to John yesterday. He said, you know, Brad, we're awful. We're not good. And we're going to see how the season progresses out here. So John Ireland, longtime voice of the Lakers, he will be with us too. Talk to the Lopes on board as well, as we do every week. Today, Andy Stankiewicz, baseball coach over at Grand Canyon University, GCU, getting it done on the Division I level. Talk to the Lopes with Andy Stankiewicz. A lot going on in the world of sports to get us off and running today. Eric Sorensen, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing on this show, and sometimes everything on this show, with our Facebook question of the day. E.
Yeah, as you mentioned, Brad, it is the baseball winter meetings, and the Diamondbacks are in the middle of trade talks. So we're going to ask you today, Kevin Towers, the gunslinger, has a bunch of different deals on the table. One is involving Angels slugger Mark Trumbo. Are you okay with the Diamondbacks dealing away another young arm, because Tyler Skaggs has been one of the players involved, after what you saw from Max Scherzer in Detroit and also Jared Parker in Oakland?
Yeah, Jared Parker now top of the rotation. Max Scherzer is going to be one of the wealthiest men on the planet.
I understand you have to give something to get something. But are you okay with it?
Sports360AZ.com. I'm fine with this. The thing with Skaggs is I kind of blame the Diamondbacks for his lack of development here. And actually not kind of, I do. They put him on the Southwest Airlines Express back and forth to Reno. And I think he had a confidence problem. And they've done this more than a few times with guys. If you're going to stick with somebody, stick with somebody. I don't know. I kind of like Tyler Skaggs. I think he's got something about him. But this is not the first guy that's come here and everybody was excited. When the Dan Heron trade came down and they brought Tyler Skaggs here, my gosh, can you believe they got Tyler Skaggs?
And remember who the quote-unquote finger quotes throw-in of that deal was? A guy named Patrick Corbin. He turned out to be a pretty decent pitcher.
Turned out to be a pretty good guy.
Yeah.
And you know who the architect of that deal was?
Yep. The same guy who's trying to get Tyler Skaggs back.
Right. Jerry DePoto is the GM of the Angels. So, you know, I'm sitting over here saying, what does Jerry DePoto, the GM of the Angels, know? Because he was the guy that was here with the Diamondbacks when he made that first deal. What does he know that is missing over here? And I trust Kevin, but, you know, there's a point in time. And if this deal does come to fruition, I'll get to that in a minute. But if it does come to fruition, is it about selling tickets more than production? All right. And that's over at Facebook.com. You can get over there and get involved on that. Let's get you caught up now. Some of the things on my mind in the world of sports. Very busy Tuesday across the great state of Arizona, plus some other things. Brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino in the beautiful White Mountains just outside of Pine Top. You pull down that slot, big winnings. They have a huge New Year's Eve party just outside the Sunrise Ski Resort. Put it all together. You stay at the Honda Resort and Casino. You pull down the slots. You have some fun playing the games. You win some money. Eat some great food. And then you go ski at the Sunrise Ski Resort. What a perfect, perfect way to bring in the new year. It's at the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. All right. As mentioned, the Diamondbacks, I think that's where we start today. I'm excited U of A's number one in basketball. But the bigger story here as we speak in the middle of the day is this trade. There's different scenarios that are coming out of the winter baseball meetings, and Pedro Gomez from ESPN will join us here in about 10 minutes, the very latest on it. The one scenario is this, that the Diamondbacks, the Chicago White Sox, and the Angels are discussing a three-way deal where Adam Eaton would go off to the White Sox, Skaggs would go to the Angels along with another prospect, and Trumbo would come to Arizona. Now, if you put the deals together side by side and look at them, The one guy that's coming out of this on the Angels' end is Hector Santiago. He would go to Anaheim. Santiago was with the White Sox. He was just 4-9 with an ERA of 3.5, 23 starts, 11 relief appearances for the White Sox last season. They would move him strictly into the rotation, and he's a guy that doesn't get paid a whole lot of money. So from that end with the Angels, it makes sense. Because I'm here in Arizona, how does it make sense for the Diamondbacks? So if the Diamondbacks trade away Skaggs and Eaton, and they get Trumbo, he hit 35 home runs last season. But here's the deal that I'm hearing on Trumbo is this guy's simply another glorified Mark Reynolds, where, yeah, and Eric brought up the name Richie Sexton earlier. That's very fair. Is it somebody that you put out there in left field and say, okay, we got an all-or-nothing guy? Well, I've seen some all-or-nothing guys here. Jason Kubel was supposed to be a guy that could hit you 25, 30 home runs. He never did. They don't have enough power and protection behind Goldschmidt. So to make this deal happen, if you're having to trade away Skaggs, I'm not going to trade away Archie Bradley. The Diamondbacks have said down at the winter meetings they've been hit on all over the place for their top pitcher in the minor leagues. Now, you could say, and they've also been hit on for Wade Miley. I'm not trading Wade Miley for Mark Trumbo. Now, as you go through this scenario, are you better served just signing the top free agent who's available down at the winter meeting, Sinshoo Chu of Cincinnati? He got hit 21 home runs last season, stole 20 bases, hit 285. Are you better throwing money at the problem, or are you better off trading away some of your assets within the rotation? I think that's really what it comes down to if you're a fan of the Diamondbacks. I've had some fans send me notes today because I asked them, who would you rather have, Chu or Trumbo? I put that on my Twitter feed, at Brad Sussmat. And, well, can we have both? No, you can't have both. No, you can't. You spend some money or make the deal.
And the Diamondbacks are in the driver's seat, as they always are. You know why? Because they have so many young, good arms. However, you have to be careful. Case in point, like we just talked about, Max Scherzer, Jared Parker. You don't want those guys going to other teams and excelling when what you got back for both of those deals was pretty minimal.
Aren't you tired, though, of hearing about all the great young prospects we have in the organization? See, I've been hearing this line from the Diamondbacks for the last several seasons. And there comes a point of, yeah, you do, but when they get here, for some reason, they don't really take off like you thought they would. And are you here to go win a title, or are you here to simply make your bottom line look good? The Diamondbacks are not a sexy team to watch. They are not. Goldschmidt had a terrific season. Aside from that, there's very little there that I look at and say, boy, I got to sit in my seat for another half inning to make sure I watch fill in the blank hit. Or do they have enough talent to compete with the Dodgers? Right now, that answer is a resounding no. Doesn't mean you go be reckless, Eric. I just think that when you take this approach of, well, we have all these great prospects, then you're telling me you're preparing for 2016 and 2017 and 2018. I don't want that. I want an owner that wants to win now. So that's where we are there. We'll go down to the winter meetings in a couple of minutes. The Monday night game, man, the Cowboys are just awful. Whew. And there's these bandwagon Cowboy fans throughout the state of Arizona, and you know who you are. When your team is even mediocre, and that's what the Cowboys have been for the last 20 years, is mediocre. You want to jump up and down and say, oh, we're the Cowboys. We got Jerry Jones. We got Jerry World. We got it all figured out. Your team's awful, okay? The Bears didn't punt once. That's the second time that's happened against the Cowboys this year. Didn't punt once. The Cowboys defense gave up 490 yards again. Five games this year, 490 yards. This is very entertaining. It's very entertaining. And then Josh McCown, the former Cardinal. There's not a better guy I've met in a Cardinal uniform in 20 years here in Arizona than Josh McCown. Just a great guy. So the Monday night game, the Bears just destroyed Dallas. Speaking of destroyed, Tyrann Mathieu's knee completely blown up. Eric was out there at the Cardinals yesterday. ACL, LCL, what are the doctor's plans with Tyrann Mathieu? Bruce Arians speaking about it earlier.
He will have surgery. They'll wait. Normally they wait 8 days for it to heal up a little bit. And then that's the normal protocol for surgery. And then he'll have some ACL and LCL repair. And too many other ales to for me to get into.
Here is Bruce Arians. When do you expect Tyrann Mathieu? This is key. When do you expect Tyrann Mathieu back with the Cardinals? He's been so good this last year.
Prognosis is crazy. It's individuals anymore. Some guys, this will be a long one, but I won't attempt to say how long because it's individual guys now.
Well, much more on this. Again, the Suns play at Los Angeles. That will be tonight. Kobe Bryant's second game back on the floor. I watched them against Toronto the other night. It's hard watching greatness get old. No other way to put it. And I'm sure he's coasting along. It's mid-December. Yeah, I'll be there when it comes time for April and May. Here's Kobe Bryant. What did all this time off teach you as he gets ready for the Suns tonight in L.A.?
It makes you appreciate the game, and it makes you appreciate this franchise and the city and, you know, everything that, you know, we've all been through. And, brings a mortality, to everything. So it makes you appreciate it, much more.
And so tonight the Suns will put P.J. Tucker on him. P.J. Tucker played well, I thought, last year against the Lakers and Kobe. A big challenge. Any extra motivation for P.J. Tucker and the Suns tonight?
Of course. I mean, Kobe's like maybe the hardest guy ever to guard, so you know it's always exciting to get a chance to play him. And he's just good everywhere, so you just got to play hard, be in the right position. That's it.
That game is tonight. Again, Arizona ranked number one in the nation in college basketball. I've seen U of A play in person. I've seen them play on television this season. I think you look at U of A. That's a team that has – can they run the table? Perfecto. Somewhere along the way, there's going to be a game at Oregon or Cal or some last-second shot. But they've got all the makings. They've got a terrific point guard and their inside play. I know the Sun scouts really like what they see out of U of A as well. We'll talk more about that. Up next, we go to Orlando. Winter baseball meetings. Pedro Gomez, ESPN baseball analyst, joins us live on the floor. The latest on the Diamondbacks, big trade talks, three-way deal perhaps. And then later, John Ireland, voice of the Lakers. Suns play at the Lakers tonight. I'm Brad Sussmat, Monday through Friday right here. Sports 360 AZ, where Arizona-centric. Brad Sussmat, Sports360AZ.com, on Twitter, at Brad Sussmat, C-E-S-M-A-T, White Mountain Radio. Good to be on White Mountain Radio across the great state of Arizona. Pedro Gomez has the rough assignment of being at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin Resort. This is in Orlando. Pedro joins us every week during the season. Nice enough to jump on board today. You don't, like, take the family and do rides because you're 24-7 in the lobby, right? Is that how that works?
It's about 15, 16 hours, yeah.
And all you're doing is standing around waiting, right? Or are you just standing there on your phone? That's all this is, right?
A little bit of both, a little bit of both. You're on your phone a lot. You're kind of making the rounds, talking to different people, different baseball executives, assistant GMs, things like that, GMs that walk around. This particular hotel is more conducive than, say, last year in Nashville, because the Opryland Hotel is just so enormous, whereas this one, there's a little bit more concentration, so you get to see more people.
Yeah, and that's why I didn't go. Last year was miserable. I mean, we did the show there, and I think I walked 5 miles to find you to come on the show. Justin Upton wasn't traded.
Probably 5 miles just to get to your room.
All right, so let's get serious here. Now, the Diamondbacks, what a surprise. Kevin Towers walks in, and he wants to make a big deal. The Diamondbacks general manager is all over the place. As you and I sit here right now, are you thinking that a deal is coming for the Diamondbacks here in the next 24 hours?
It's not 24, maybe 48 to 72, but I do think that the Diamondbacks are looking to do something. They are looking to maybe re-energize the fan base, re-energize their organization, do something to kind of create some energy. The way last season ended, the last few months, there was just so little energy in and out of Chase Field that I think they feel like they've got to do something to try to recapture some of that.
Pedro Gomez joins us live from the winter baseball meetings with Brad Sussmat, right there on the floor. Okay, so doing something for the sake of doing something versus doing something to move the organization forward. Let's move backwards then to last week. I had heard the Diamondbacks were right in the middle of the Carlos Beltran sweepstakes. That did raise my eyebrows. Were they close on that one? Did that surprise you?
Apparently they were very close. And that would have been a an excellent move, many baseball industry people believe, because adding a left-handed outfielder's bat to the Diamondbacks lineup, a power bat, is exactly what they are looking for. And in one move, you could have done it, I don't want to say cheaply, but relatively cheaply, and not for as many years as maybe another move might require. And, you know, you add someone like Carlos Beltran, a proven winner, one of the best players of the last 15 years in all of Major League Baseball. And that could have very well been an impetus, is what I'm told, to owner Ken Kendrick saying, you know what, now that we have Beltran, we're going to really go forward. And I was told that if they had landed Beltran, Kendrick was prepared to open the checkbook and maybe make even a run at someone like David Price.
Wow. And that definitely would shake things up. And it's curious to me, Pedro, because I'll get over to the Trumbo stuff in a minute and Sin Choo Choo and all that. This organization has ranted and raved about how they have stockpiled all these great young arms and these great young prospects. And there comes a point where I need to see it, because every time that I hear it, it feels like just wait till 2012. Let's wait till 2013. Let's just wait till 2014. And I have not seen it. And then they give up on guys, and Jared Parker goes the top of the rotation in Oakland. We know about Scherzer in Detroit. So I'm having a trust issue here a little bit with the direction of this organization in a National League West that's extraordinarily competitive.
Well, although you do see people like Miley and Corbin who have come up, and Skaggs, even though he was a trade, you've seen some of those young arms prosper at the big league level. Certainly Scherzer is one that, in retrospect, I'm not sure that they would do again. But that was the previous regime. That was not Kevin Towers.
Right.
So you can't hold Towers accountable for that one. He had nothing to do with it. The arms are always important. And certainly we have heard about Archie Bradley for the last year to 2 years. And anybody I have spoken to outside of the Diamondbacks organization does believe that Archie Bradley is a one or two type pitcher in a rotation. So that certainly is encouraging if that pans out. It's not easy. It's not easy to produce your own arms. If it were, every club would have four or five deep in their rotation of homegrown product. So, the Diamondbacks haven't done poorly when it comes to trying to cultivate that. I mean, Scherzer certainly was cultivated in the Diamondbacks system.
Sure.
So was Jared Parker. So have Cahill. Well, Cahill came from the A's, but Miley and Corbin and Skaggs, all these guys basically got their feet under them in the Diamondbacks organization. So they must be doing something right at the minor league level to produce these kind of arms. But you're right. I mean, it hasn't been enough to take them over the top. They got Daniel Hudson from the White Sox at a very young age, and he certainly did show a lot of promise here. So, they've done okay. They've done better than okay at producing young arms. The problem has been, like you said, maybe sometimes keeping them and maybe sometimes having them take it up a notch.
Well, in the case of Trumbo, okay, so here's a guy, one of four players that hit at least 28 home runs in each of the last three seasons. So you put Trumbo out there around Goldschmidt for protection issues. Is he Richie Sexson? Is he Mark Reynolds? Are we just looking at a guy that's an all or nothing guy? Because I've seen that movie before, and he's not a very good outfielder defensively.
Well, that's what baseball people are saying, that it's his best position is first base. And when you have the best first baseman in the National League, you're not going to move Paul Goldschmidt away from that spot, especially the type of Gold Glove caliber first baseman that Goldschmidt is. So, you're right. There are people in the industry that say, Trumbo is not extremely, he's not overly athletic. He's not somebody that you can put almost anywhere. The Angels tried to put him at third base. That failed. They do put him in the outfield from time to time, and he's not an above average outfielder. That's not why he's in the lineup, though. He's in the lineup to hit the long ball. But the problem has been that his on-base percentage has gone down. It hasn't gone up. And it is an all-or-nothing type of swing. And that certainly could become an issue because the names you mentioned, guys like Richie Sexton and Mark Reynolds, those are kind of comparable type players to what Trumbo has shown so far.
Pedro Gomez from the Winter Baseball Meetings joining us live, ESPN's Baseball Insider with Brad Sussmat. So if it's Skaggs and D.D. Gregorius, let's say, because that's been thrown around out there in the last few hours for Mark Trumbo, does that sound like an equitable deal from what you're hearing down there?
Probably something along those lines. I've heard the same names, and when you really stop and think about it, I mean, you know, they have Owings at shortstop who certainly is thought of very highly. He's probably not as slick a defensive shortstop as Didi, but you know, you're going to have to give to get. The Angels aren't simply going to turn someone over to you. In terms of Skaggs, somebody like that, the Angels are not going to make a move for Trumbo without acquiring a starting pitcher. That I can almost guarantee you, because the Peter Borges trade netted them zero starting pitching. And they've taken a lot of criticism for that deal because they did not land a starting pitcher, which is their biggest hole. Right now, the Angels' rotation has only two pitchers that you would say you'd want in your rotation who have completed a full major league season as a starting pitcher, and that's Jared Weaver and C.J. Wilson. After that, you're looking at Garrett Richards, who certainly has a lot of upside, but has never completed a full season in a rotation. You have Joe Blanton, but boy, after what he did last season, there's some people that don't even know if he'll make it out of spring training. Mm. So the Angels are absolutely, they're in a must-find starting pitching mode. And Trumbo right now is their best bargaining chip, even though Borges may have been that, but gone, and they didn't land a starting pitcher. You can bet every last dollar that a starting pitcher has to be included for Mark Trumbo.
Okay, and I know they've asked about Miley and they've asked about Bradley. That's not happening. Let me move over to this scenario. I've got about a minute and a half left. Sin Shu Chu, you could go the route, if you're the Diamondbacks, of adding a free agent bat, 21 home runs last season, 285 last season. Is he too expensive? Who would you rather have, Pedro, if you're building a team, Chu or Trumbo, if you're the Diamondbacks?
Well, Chu certainly is a much more athletic player, and his on-base percentage is much higher. You know, he's a top of the lineup type guy, a number two or three type hitter. The issue though is finances, because he is represented by Scott Boras, and with Jacoby Ellsbury just landing a 7-year, $153 million deal, there are a lot of people that think Chu is going to come close to that type of deal. That would probably more than double the highest contract ever given out by the Diamondbacks, and that's going to be very difficult to swallow. At some point, the D-backs are going to have to jump into those type of contracts.
Yes.
It's just that, is Chu that guy? And that's a question that only those people inside the office, Ken Kendrick, Kevin Towers, Derek Hall, they're the only ones that can answer that, and Ken Kendrick is the one that's going to have to write the check. So if they believe that Chu is that type of $130, $140 million player, they'll do it. There are some people that aren't quite sure. He's more of a, some people in baseball believe he's more of a complementary type player, not the guy you build around. Certainly Goldschmidt is the centerpiece of the Diamondback organization. So he would not be, Chu would not be the focal point, but a lot of people believe he's better off being like the third, fourth best guy on your team rather than maybe the second.
I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time. Maybe we check back with you if something big happens down there, Pedro. Thanks.
All right, Brad.
Pedro Gomez joining us live from the winter baseball meetings down in Florida. Boy, do I want a guy who hits 250 in Trumbo? Can I see him hitting 280 and getting me 30 home runs? Do I want a guy in Chu who's not, like Pedro said, do I want to tie up $100 million in a guy who's just a guy? I don't know. I mean, you're going to move some stuff in the team shop with new uniforms, but boy, I see where Cole Hamels and Cliff Lee are available. I'd rather have a guy at the top of the rotation myself. John Ireland, voice of the Lakers, on the other side. The Suns play at Los Angeles tonight. Kobe Bryant's first game back over the weekend. What did John think on that? Does he have any gas left in the tank? Are the Lakers any good? Why is Steve Nash still there? A lot to get to. Suns at Lakers tonight with John Ireland, voice of the Lakers next. I'm Brad Sussmat. Well, the Diamondbacks working on this big trade, maybe with the Angels and the White Sox. Tonight, the Suns are in Los Angeles against the Lakers. Now, what would the odds have been with our good buddy Jimmy Vaccaro, Eric, up in Vegas, if at the start of the year I would say, hey, Jimmy, on December 10th, the Suns are going to have a better record than the Lakers? Think I would have got some money from Jimmy on that one?
Yeah, you would have had good odds on that.
I think I would have done well. If I would have told John Ireland, the voice of the Lakers, who joins us now for a couple of minutes, that the Suns on December 10th would have a better record than the Lakers, would you have believed me, John?
No, I thought they were tanking. Yeah, I was convinced that the Suns, especially after they traded Gortat, Brad, were going the other way. I thought they were going to play all their young guys and kind of mail in the season. And I couldn't have been more wrong. How about this? This is where you could really have made money with your buddy Jimmy. The Suns are 5-6 on the road. You know how hard it is to win on the road in the NBA? They're 5-6, and they've beaten Portland twice.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the biggest surprise team in the league.
Break them up.
11-9. Good for them.
Break them up. Come on.
I will tell you this. You're on to something, because Dragic has always been one of the most underrated players in the league. I love Bledsoe. We got to watch him for his first 3 years when he played for the Clippers. So if you wanted to move forward with that backcourt, you could. You just need to build up the front line. And, you know, who knows? My guess is they're probably not going to keep Okafor when he gets better. But if Okafor got healthy, he could be a piece for them, too. If I lived in Phoenix, I'd be really happy with this team so far.
No, they are. They actually care over here because they got tired of seeing old, couldn't move, knowing it was a bad team, just trying to get in the 8th seed in the playoffs. So those that are showing up, and there's not many that are, John, I think they get what's going on over here. And the fact they took the broom out with Ryan McDonough coming here to get rid of the incompetence beforehand. And Hornacek's done a nice job. It was nothing personal with Alvin Gentry. It's just after Alvin left, it was a train wreck over here. What's going on with your team?
Well, it's hard to say because, and you guys will see this tonight, we don't know what the team with Kobe is supposed to look like. They figured out how to play without him. They went 10-9 without him. Without any real stars. I mean, Brad, the guy averaging the most points on our team was Jody Meeks, and he was averaging about 13 points a game. We had 9 guys that were averaging around 10 a game, and that's how we were getting our points. Now you're going back to a star system where Kobe's the main guy, and you know he returned on Sunday, and it was you know, we asked him after the game, what grade would you give yourself? He said, I'd give myself an F. He only had 9 points. He had 8 turnovers. So it's going to take some time. You guys, if you're a Suns fan, you're catching us at a good time because the Lakers have tried to implement Kobe at practice, but it's different when you try and implement him in a game. And I would think that the Suns have an excellent chance to win tonight just because the Lakers don't know what they've got yet.
John Ireland, voice of the Lakers with Brad Sussmat for a couple of minutes. Okay, so where do you give Kobe on a percentage scale? Is he 80%, 75, 95? How healthy really is he?
I would go lower than all those. I would say, and I've covered him his whole career, I got here the first year that he was here. And he's a different player. After this injury, he plays below the rim now. And he physically looks good to me, Brad. He looks fine. But I would say he's at about 60%. Of what he'll be maybe a month from now. I think that the trick with him is he's got all these new parts. I mean, the Lakers are kind of a crazy lab experiment this year. We've got a whole bunch of guys on one-year contracts. As a matter of fact, after this season is over, the only guys under contract are Kobe, Steve Nash, who hasn't played at all, and we can get to that in a second, and Nick Young has a player option. But other than that, we're opening up the free agent coffers at the end of this year and seeing who they can get to come. So what the end result of that is you've got a whole bunch of guys like Xavier Henry and Wes Johnson and Steve Blake that are, you know, on either end of deal or 1 year deal. And so Kobe hasn't played with half of the guys he'll play with tonight.
So you're really lining up then for Carmelo.
Anybody that they can get to take their money, I think would be a better way to put it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen with LeBron? I personally don't think LeBron is in play. I don't think he was ever coming to the Lakers, and I don't think he's coming next year. But, you know, who knows? Indiana wins the title. The Miami Heat decides to break that team up. LeBron decides he doesn't want to do it if it's not with Bosh and Wade. Then, you know, the Lakers will throw him a max contract, see if they can get him to come out here and, you know, be the face of the team. I think that's unlikely. I think Melo is a possibility, and, you know, really moving forward, they just have Kobe for two more years. So that opens up the year after that, Kevin Love's available. The year after that, Durant and Westbrook jump into the pool.
Mm-hmm.
So Laker fans are in the rare position, Brad, of having to be patient, because what they've got is cap space over the next 2 to 3 years, and they're going to offer it to all the marquee players in the league and see who they can get to come.
A couple other questions. So on the Kobe thing, personally for you, for me over here, John, it was hard to watch Steve Nash the last 2 to 3 years. It was nothing personal. It was just, man, he can't move. Are you feeling the same sort of thing yourself when you're watching Kobe?
No, and you're right about Nash. You know, the Nash experiment for us, I remember, I think I came on your show right after they made that trade, and we were all genuinely excited about it. We thought we had the Nash that you guys had in his last season, who had back trouble, but arguably put up pretty good numbers. We thought he was going to play 28 minutes a game for us, do what he does, get the ball to Kobe, and kind of run D'Antoni's system here. And he's just never been healthy, Brad. He broke his leg in the second game of the season last year. He suffered nerve damage as a result, and this is going to go down as probably one of the worst signings the Lakers have ever made. One of the worst trades. We gave you guys three number ones,
yep.
And you know, or maybe it was two number ones and two number twos. I'd have to look it up, but it's going to go down as a really bad move for them. Kobe is different. Kobe is a top 10 NBA player all time, and you maybe could make the argument top five. He moves better. He does not have the health issues that Nash had. Now, who knows what it's going to look like playing on this reconstructed Achilles. But if you watch him run, Brad, and you'll see tonight, when you watch him rebound, when you watch his gait, his ability, it's there. He just needs to learn how to play below the rim for a couple of months until he ramps back up. It feels different to me than Nash, if that makes sense.
Sure. No, I know what you're saying. Before I let you go, then, D'Antoni. Is he going to make it out there? That thing's been panned since day one.
I like him a lot.
I did too.
But I've always liked him. Yeah. I've always kind of been in his corner.
Sure.
You know, to take the team he did and go 10-9 is pretty good. You know, to be honest with you, I think it kind of depends on what the team looks like. For example, you brought up Carmelo. If the Lakers get Carmelo, do they keep Mike?
No.
I mean, those guys didn't really peacefully coexist in New York.
Right.
If they don't get Melo, I'd like to see Mike make it work here. I'm a fan of his personally and professionally. I know the front office likes him. I know that that they think it's a serious upgrade over Mike Brown. I know that Kobe likes him. So I would love to see him be able to finish his contract. He's in the second year of a 4-year deal. But you know this, Brad, it's the NBA. I mean, executives and coaches get fired like they're throwing out the old hamburgers at McDonald's. You know, it's a players' league. Players dictate where this stuff goes. And you guys seem to have a keeper in Hornacek. He seems to know what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I always liked him as a player. I hope he has a good run. And like you made reference to, I'm just glad, and I've said this to you before, when we used to come down there during the D'Antoni years, when you had the Colangelos running the franchise, it was the funnest stop in the league for us. I've been traveling with the Lakers since 2002, and I look forward to coming to Phoenix to watch those teams all the time. And you guys seem to be getting a little of that back. I think this last 2 to 3 years has been a nightmare. I think they hired a bad GM. I don't think the guy knew what he was doing. The vibe we got in that building when we went down there was people were very unhappy. People within the organization were very unhappy. It's different now.
Yep.
And I'm happy for you guys. I hope they kind of, you know, stay the course and let that happen. I'd like to see that happen here with D'Antoni. But yeah, who knows if they shuffle the roster and it's not a D'Antoni type roster. The Lakers never hesitate to cut ties.
As always,
so it's really too early to say.
Sorry about that. As always, I appreciate your time and your insight, John. Thanks.
Anytime, Brad. Have a great day.
John Ireland, voice of the Lakers from Los Angeles tonight. Kobe Bryant against the Suns. It feels like, and it's nice to hear someone like John. He comes on all the time. That, from a national perspective, that what's going on over here in Phoenix, they finally have figured it out. Because I have to tell you, I was worn out with the incompetence that was going on in the ownership group. I'm very happy I don't see Robert Sarver. I'm very happy I don't see Lon Babbie. I'm very happy I don't see those guys. Those guys need to stay out of sight, the front office and the owner. Just go away. Let your group do what they do here in Phoenix. On the Lakers' end, boy, you just don't want to see Kobe go down grabbing his Achilles again and have it be one of those guys. It's tough to see greatness at the end. it's great when there's a player that wants to start and finish with the same team, because we don't see that. We never see, give me guys that have started and finished and have been superstars with the same team. It very rarely happens. You may hate Kobe. I don't. I love greatness. You know, I'm not one of these guys. I'm not a fan of the Suns. I'm not. Just I love seeing greatness. On the other side, talk to the Lopes every week. GCU Athletics, Grand Canyon University, their head baseball coach, Andy Stankiewicz. So the Lopes go to Division I. They're playing a great schedule. He's a former Yankee, former Diamondback, played or coached over at ASU. Andy Stankiewicz joins me next. Talk to the Lopes. I'm Brad Sussmat. Time to talk to the Lopes, as we do every week. Brad Sussmat with you. Talk to the Lopes, Grand Canyon University, a big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. Talk to the Lopes this week, the men's basketball team at 5-3. They're on Fox Sports Arizona this Saturday, playing at Northern Arizona. Next week, they play Tulsa. That's Danny Manning, the former Sun, coaching at Tulsa and New Mexico down at the Pit. Big week ahead for Dan Marley's team. Andy Stankiewicz joins us now for a couple of minutes. Third season at GCU, building a program with the Lopes, one of the very good guys, former Diamondback. We dealt with him there. And now he's getting it done over and with ASU as well. Now he's getting it done at GCU. Andy, how are you?
Brad, doing great. Thanks for having me on.
How's the program from day one when you took over to where it is now?
Well, it has been a fluid might be a way to describe it. We've been, you know, when we first took over, we were a Division II, and the roster was pretty limited, so we just kind of were grabbing players left and right, and then we feel like we're kind of moving in the right direction, and we have our first recruiting class at Division II as for last year's team, and then all of a sudden, which is great, you know, we got to be a Division I program again, and so now we're out. So it's been kind of three different seasons of recruiting, I think. And so it's been a challenge, but it's been exciting. It's been a lot of fun. Our staff is out there working hard, evaluating players, and working hard developing them once they get them into the program. And the guys are doing great in school. It's been a love affair from my end, I can tell you that.
Yeah. No, I would think so. When Brian Mueller looked you in the eye, or the athletic department, just everybody at GCU, and said, "We want you to be our coach," what was it that said to you, this is the place to go to? Because on the surface, you would not have known that Division I was coming. There was conversation of getting there, but you didn't know when you first came in.
No.
What was it that for you said, you know what, I'm going to leave where I am, I'm going to go make a move, and I'm going to jump into a program that I'm sure you had to have the vision, but take me back to that time where you said, I'm going to go take this challenge on.
Well, I think you're exactly right, Brad. Cause when I first got my first time, I sat down with Keith Baker and Brian Mueller, Stan Meyer, and, you know, the higher ups, and you know, I was intrigued, and I had a good job with the Mariners and player development. You know, I didn't think much of it, and then you know, I was sat down again, and you know, like you said, you mentioned the word vision, Brian and Keith, and they have great vision, and I saw that, and I saw where Brian wanted to take this university in terms of not just athletics, but in terms of just campus. You know, what he wanted to do here
and facilities and all that.
Absolutely, and so yeah. I just caught that, you know, and I tried to look at the big picture, and you're right, I took the job, you know, with the hope that it'd become a Division I program, but I really felt like if it stayed at Division II. It still we could be the Division II program in the country, or one of them, you know, in a year-to-year basis. And so Division I wasn't necessarily the big issue for me. I just, what I saw here was building here, you know, at 35th and Camelback. I just got really excited about coaching young men and watching them grow and watching them go to school and graduate and all that, you know. I had a great experience in college at Pepperdine University, and pro ball was great. It's wonderful. It is, but this, I think, adds to, you can just kind of invest a little bit more into a young man's life, and that's really what I was looking forward to doing.
We're talking with Andy Stankiewicz. Talk to the Lopes every week here on Sports 360 AZ and across the state, White Mountain Radio and others. We talk about what's going on at Grand Canyon University, GCU Athletics. Andy Stankiewicz with us. My daughter goes there, okay, so I've seen it in the last 2 years just be like this mushroom cloud of let's build a dorm. Oh, wait, no, let's go build another dorm. Oh, wait, no, let's go build another dorm. Let's build an arena. Well, let's remodel the arena, okay?
Right.
So there's all this change. What about around your program in terms of facilities? And I'm leading you into when you identify a kid that you want to have come play for you, doesn't matter if it's JUCO, high school, doesn't matter if it's Arizona or outside of the state, you have to walk through that 35th and Camelback entrance and say, here's why you need to come here. So tell me first on facilities and how that's changed for you.
Well, I think it's huge in recruiting. We get young men and their folks that have been born and raised here in Phoenix, and they have no idea. They get on campus, and their coach, I had no idea that this is nice as it is, what's going on here. So they see the investment in the students here. They see investment in the campus experience that's going on here. Then I get to sell them, you know, hopefully we do a good job of selling them on the baseball development, that side of it. And, you know, Phoenix is, man, it's a wonderful place for baseball, as you know. I mean, with all the spring trainings here and scouts and general managers, and it's a who's who of baseball community living here, right here, probably within, you know, 40 miles of campus. And so it really is a great place for a young man to go to school, develop their baseball game, get a great education. You know, if they are good enough to play pro ball, that'll happen here. That'll happen, and it's beginning to happen. You know, we're getting more and more scouts are getting interested in our players, showing up for practices and inter squads and taking notice, sitting down with our players, having meetings with them. So all of that stuff is beginning to take place. And, you know, that lends to recruiting. You know, these young men and their parents, they want to know that their son or daughter is going to be in a great situation and going to grow, you know, in all facets of life.
Well, in your schedule now, this year you've added at USC, at U of A, at Washington, couple games at Kansas, at UCI, Fresno State. So from a conference affiliation, that's big that you're part of the WAC. But the flip side of that is you're playing the top programs in the nation. It does sound like you're going to have a player or two drafted here in the next year or so.
Yeah, and, you know, because we can't go to the postseason, you know, we were really aggressive in scheduling. You know, I tell a young man, hey, you're right, we can't go to the postseason for a little bit, but you're going to play – you know, you're going to play in some big venues. You're going to play in some big stadiums. You're going to get a chance to experience big-time college Division I baseball. And the way we look at it, you know, when we get into this thing, and we have to be realistic, you know, we're going to probably take some lumps here early. But in order for us to be good and be a team that can match up against anybody nationally in years 2, 3, 4, 5 as we move forward, we have to play good teams. I mean, usually a lot of teams will continue to play Division II schools, you know, that first year they go to Division I. It just didn't make a lot of sense to me, quite honestly. It just felt like, hey, we're better off playing against better competition and competing against them well and maybe, like I said, being frustrated at times. But that's okay, because if we look at the big picture, in the end, it's going to help us as we move forward. And so that's what we've done. And, you know, we've got some players here that you mentioned getting drafted. We've got a young man named George Perez that – a local boy from La Jolla High School out here on the west side. He's got a chance to get drafted pretty good. And then we got a sophomore here named Andrew Nader that was a freshman All-American in last season and went out last summer and was one of the best pitchers in the summer league he was in. So it's starting to move, like we said, in the right direction. It's an exciting time. It really is for our program.
Well, I think it's kind of cool that, you know, here you are, a former major leaguer doing your thing, and then you have Dan over there on the basketball side. This isn't to denigrate the coaches, but look, here's a couple guys that have done it professionally, and there's other coaches there that have gone to a high level. So it's not like, let's field a baseball team and just roll out a bag of balls and a couple of bats and let's call it a day. You can tell that the commitment is there on all sports, on all athletic fronts, to win.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the things. Brian Mueller, I know you sat down and spent some time with him. He is as competitive as a person I've ever met. So when the president of your school is supports your program and is giving you the resources to have success, you know, I think that puts responsibility on us as well. And I'm sure Dan knows it. Dan feels it. I mean, every coach here on campus realizes that there's high expectations here. We don't. Grand Canyon University from the top down does not want to be average, and I'm sure your daughter would agree, you know, being on campus here. So that flows right into athletics, you know, and as a former player, I like that. I like the feeling of there's pressure, there's responsibility, and accountability. I want to do it well, and I want our players to understand that, and they do. They hear it daily, and so, like I said, it's fun to, when you're in a competitive environment, and knowing you have the resources to be competitive.
I'll let you go off that. I appreciate your time and your insight, Andy. I'll see you down the road. Thanks.
You got it, Brad. Thanks for having me.
Andy Stankiewicz. You got it. That's Talk to the Lopes. Talk to the Lopes every week. Grand Canyon University, a part of what we do over at GCU. This segment of the show brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. Santan Ford, it's coming down towards the end of the year. We're already at the 10th of December. You know what it's like in the car business at the end of the year? You need that car, you need that truck. This is when you can strike those great deals. You may be heading on up to the high country, heading on up to the mountains, heading over to the West Coast. Do you have the vehicle that you're 100% comfortable and confident in? And why are you putting it off? You know, you can find some great deals, great rebates, great service over at Santan Ford towards the end of the year. Never a better time to buy a vehicle than the next few weeks here. Santan Ford General Manager Tim Hovick, huge in the sports world, big part of what we do here at Sports 360 AZ. We'll be over in San Diego with ASU at the Holiday Bowl, thanks to Santan Ford, where it is all about you. That is Santan Ford. Jason Kidd, does it feel like, Eric, that we're going to have a story here in the next, I don't know, 2-3 weeks, maybe month, that Jason Kidd resigns, fired, whatever, former son? The latest with Jason Kidd, he used an expletive that's 13 letters long.
13 letters.
13-letter long expletive.
Yeah, I know what that word is.
Against his assistant coach. Dropped it on him. Following a team's loss. Sit the blank down. I'm the coach of this blanking team. When you're on the bench, don't blinking move. Kidd said, according to NBA.com. That's the NBA's own website, which I think is pretty interesting in itself. Behind the scenes, NBA.com is letting it out there that Jason Kidd is losing control. Do you think the league office is saying, what are they doing in New Jersey? And let's get the PR campaign out there now to get him out of here.
And I'm sure that the microscope is even more intense and the spotlight even more intense after Sodagate a couple weeks ago. So.
Well, there's Sodagate. And I think Jason Kidd, if you were to sit down with Jason Kidd, did you think that all your buddies that you played with in the Olympics or guys that you've played alongside of or that you've partied with, guys like Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett, do you think that they would mail it in on you? That just looks like a team that is saying, okay, you're not a player anymore. And it's December, and we don't care. We're not going to get up for these games. So now it comes out that they gave Lawrence Frank, this is the assistant coach that Jason Kidd dropped the bomb on, they gave this guy a 6-year contract worth $6 million to be the assistant coach.
And now he's like cutting tape or watching film,
right,
or doing something in the back room.
You are going to go get us more tape for ankles down at the apothecary shop.
Or that tape.
Yeah, yeah. We're not going to even have you watch tape because we don't believe in anything you're doing. Sports360AZ.com on Twitter at Brad Cesmat, C-E-S-M-A-T. You can always like our page. Go to the Sports360AZ website and check out all the content around Arizona. We're Arizona-centric. Thanks for being with us.